Licensed in all 50 states and MLSConsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
Morning, morning, morning.
It's the boss.
I call shots like a boss.
In the gloss.
Check my lip gloss, I only rock clear.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
I got that sunshine in my pocket.
Welcome back, everyone. And we've had a great first hour talking all things NBA and a little MLB. And next segment, we're going to get Travis Sawchick on here with us. He's a senior baseball writer at The Score. And The Score is, bar none, it's the best sports media app you can get. It's one of the top sports media destinations in North America, offering scores, news, and original content for sports fans everywhere. And Travis is one of a group of great feature writers doing some really innovative and interesting work, including his latest piece. It's a deep dive into the sticky substances being used by pitchers to gain a competitive advantage, which MLB has said it will crack down on in the couple of weeks coming here. So we get a chance to ask Travis firsthand about his in-depth look at what we call spider tack.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear. It's all the buzz. And you see Major League Baseball, by not cracking down, I mean, it's in the rule books. It's very clear that no illegal substances can be used, to enhance pitching. Yet it's not being enforced. And what are we talking about? We're not talking about pennant races. We're not talking about, you know, winning streaks, losing streaks, you know, no hitters. We're talking about spider tack.
Which is really too bad. I mean, this last few days, great series, Astros, Red Sox, two of the top teams in the American League. Astros won the first two. Red Sox got the win last night.
And Astros lots of the offense. Series. This is exciting.
Lots of offense. An incredible game last night, actually, at Fenway Park. Yet we're going to talk a little bit about some spider tack.
Not even a little bit. We're talking a lot of bit about it.
All right, we'll do that. And then, of course, even there, you've got the Yankees who, I mean, usually when Aroldis Chapman comes in to close the game, you can feel very confident.
Second blown save.
But a blown save, two runs, and that just is not something we saw coming. So there are some great baseball narratives outside spider tack.
So other people besides Jose Altuve are ruining Chapman's close.
Yeah, Altuve, and he is heated up over the last week.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, remember, he got the slow start, and he's instrumental to that Astros lineup.
The monkey's off his back this year. He's playing free.
All right, when we come back, it will be Travis Sawchick, and he can tell us all about the sticky substances, spider tack. Up next, it will be Travis Sawchick of The Score.
More miles on the road with O'Reilly Auto Parts. A clean fuel system means better gas mileage for your car. Right now at O'Reilly Auto Parts, get two bottles of Lucas Fuel Injector Cleaner for $8. Plus, earn double O rewards points. For a clean, lubricated, more fuel-efficient system, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Over 2.5 million airline passengers fly every day in the United States. Those passengers depend on reliable airplanes, and those planes need certified aircraft technicians. That's where you come in. We are the Aviation Institute of Maintenance, and we train tomorrow's technicians. We train our students hands-on with real aircraft, develop their skills, and prepare them for real jobs in the industry. The Bureau of Labor Statistics reports the average aircraft technician in the United States makes over $62,000 a year.
The job opportunity is there. The money is there.
If you want to work with your hands, it's a perfect place for you.
Call 800-876-0097.
I'm very impressed with the AIM curriculum. The school's keeping pace with the demands of the industry.
The potential for growth is astounding.
At the Aviation Institute of Maintenance, we train tomorrow's technicians.
800-876-0097. 800-876-0097.
You heard you could save big when you bundle home and auto with Progressive, so you went online to check it out. But then you saw a link for a survey about which type of bread you are. And now you're on question 17, barely scratching the surface of your bread identity. You always thought of yourself as a brioche, but are you actually more of a pumpernickel? Ah, yes. They said it was easy to save money bundling with Progressive, but they forgot about the rest of the internet.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Bundle discount not available in all states or situations.
I owed the IRS $10,000.
The IRS garnished my wages.
They put a lien on my house.
The IRS is the most powerful collection agency in the world. They do not give up until you pay.
I couldn't sleep. We were being audited. I called Tax Solutions Now, and a great big weight was lifted off my shoulders.
I called Tax Solutions Now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Tax Solutions Now had my wage garnishment lifted in 48 hours.
Tax Solutions Now can get you help. Our agents know the rules, can stop the pain, and get you the best deal. We connect you with a team of former IRS agents and tax professionals who will get the IRS off your back.
We saved our home and overcame the most powerful collection agency in the world.
Call Tax Solutions Now. Time is running out. Call 800-296-9744. 800-296-9744. 800-296-9744. 800-296-9744.
It's the Boss.
And the Gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
Welcome back, everyone. And joining us on the Progressive Insurance guest line is Travis Sawchick. Travis is the senior baseball writer at The Score. And The Score is one of the most popular sports media destinations in all of North America, offering scores, news, and original content for sports fans everywhere. Travis is one of a group of feature writers doing some really innovative and interesting work, including his latest piece, a deep dive into the sticky substances being used by pitchers to gain a competitive advantage, which MLB has said it will crack down on in the coming weeks. So we get to go to the Progressive Insurance guest line and talk to Travis about this very topic. Travis, welcome to the show. You're on with David and Carla.
Great to be with you.
So let's start with the sticky situation, spider tack. By the way, I'm sitting next to Carla Dawson. She is the gloss. She comes in looking stunning every day. One thing you do not apply is any spider tack in your routine and makeup, right?
I haven't been heaving 300-pound stones, but if I start that up again, I'm going for the spider tack.
Well, that was amazing. We had to look up what was spider tack originally used for. It's for lifting heavy items, right? But Travis, where is this headed? What is MLB going to do? What's the next step in this narrative?
Yeah, for so long, MLB had, you know, looked the other way and enforcing this, the rule that pitchers aren't allowed to put foreign substances on a baseball. And, you know, since baseball began, I think pitchers have been scuffing balls, throwing Vaseline balls, footballs, what have you. And for the most part, unless it was just an egregious violation, MLB and its umpires looked the other way. But I think what we've seen happen is since spin tracking technology that shows the relationship of how spin affects ball flight, since that came online about 2015, you know, pitchers understand the correlation between spin, pitch movement, and batter's performance against certain profiles of pitches and certain spin rates. And pitchers learn, basically, that more spin, if you throw a four-seam fastball, if you throw a breaking ball, equals more swing and miss, more weak contact. So more spin is good. And then curious pitchers and coaches would go into these pitching labs or bullpens outfitted with spin tracking tech. Rapsodo is the most common one. And they could experiment with not just pitch designs, you know, different grips, affected spin and pitch movement, but also sticky substances, if you were so inclined, and seeing how those affect spin rates. And that's what I did for the piece. I went to a performance pitching center with a Rapsodo unit in Pittsburgh, and I tried out a bunch of commonly used sticky substances in baseball to see which ones were most effective. And, the spider tack was king. Even me, I guess you could loosely call me an amateur pitcher, very loosely. I threw a 59-mile-an-hour fastball
nice.
with no sticky stuff, and that traveled about 1440 RPM. And then when I put on spider tack, it jumped up to 1810 at about 59 miles an hour. And that's just crazy bump. And that and I had a couple college arms throwing with me to just see what, you know, 80s fastball velocity would do. And, you know, they saw similar performance spikes. And So just by dabbing your hand and getting a little spider tack on it and throwing the pitch, you'll see a huge boost in spin, and that means a huge boost in movement. And I think as baseball looks at, wow, our batting averages are down to, I think it's 236 for major league hitters as a whole right now. Strikeout rates keep setting new records every year. Baseball's like, we might have to start enforcing our rule book because sticky stuff is a lower hanging fruit than, say, moving the mound back to try to get more balls in play.
You know, so interesting, Travis. I love that you put yourself in the arena for this sticky stuff and did some pitching yourself. Travis, you're also the author of The MVP Machine and Big Data Baseball, so I know data is big with you. Will Major League Baseball finally get this scandal right? You know, you look at the steroid era, which had to do with performance enhancing. You look at the sign stealing era, that had to do with cheating. This, quote, spin rate era really is a combination of both performance enhancing and cheating. Are they finally going to get this right?
It's a great question, and I think it's fair to be skeptical and cynical anytime Major League Baseball attempts to do something, mm-hmm. because they have failed to get ahead of so many problems, whether it's steroids, whether it's, you know, the sign stealing, and I don't think the Astros were the only team involved in that. And of course, the Amen. Red Sox had their own. The Astros might have been most sophisticated or blatant about it, but they certainly weren't the only teams that have ever tried to use technology to steal a sign. So baseball's failed to get ahead of a lot of these issues, and it's fair to be cynical if they can do this. But I think if there's the will and the resolve to do it, they can do it. I mean, if they implement their plan, which ESPN reported as early as next week, will include 8 to 10 random checks a game. It'll sort of be like the TSA check when you go to the random screen when you go to the airport. If they do that, I think we'll see. We're actually already seeing a change. I looked at the first week. I just published this piece the other day. I looked at the first week since MLB made this announcement, and 63% of major league pitchers who have thrown, and that is most pitchers over the last week, 63% have seen a reduction in spin. So I think just the deterrent effect, just the announcement had an effect. And I think if they actually do these screening checks, if they're serious about it, we'll see a lot of spin reduced. I do think baseball needs to be careful not to make pitchers villains. I mean, yes, many are violating the rule book, but baseball looked the other way for so long. Was sort of, I think you could, if you're a pitcher, you're thinking, well, if everyone else is doing it, I'm at a performance disadvantage. I'm not saying that's morally correct, but you can understand pitchers are acting rationally. So I think baseball needs to be careful in how they. I think making pitchers to be too much of villains is the wrong approach. But yeah, I think baseball needs more balls in play. They need fewer strikeouts. They need higher batting averages. And this is the easiest way to go about it versus, you know, they're going to experiment in the Independent Atlantic League this summer with moving the mound back. That strikes me as you might want to do something else before you start changing the dimensions on the field that have been there forever.
Right.
So that's kind of a long, bumbling answer to your question.
No, it was way better than Garrett Cole's bumbling answer, which was a yes or no question, and he couldn't even get that out. So if you're not a no, you're a yes. That's what I say.
Well, and I agree. I'm sympathetic to that idea that, look, if MLB is going to turn its back on this and allow people to use these substances, every pitcher is going to do it because they don't want to be at a competitive disadvantage. And so, yeah, you either have to enforce it universally or allow it to happen and recognize it will be very commonplace. It's one or the other. But
so yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, just one more point is I think pitchers should want – I think most players should want a level playing field. Some pitchers, if you're a sinker-dominant arm or a change-up dominant guy, you actually want less spin. So the sticky stuff isn't necessarily helping you. Mm-hmm. It's helping – people you're going to be competing against for free agent contracts or, mm-hmm. you know, to be tendered a contract. And then, of course, major league batters, I know they don't want to be hit with this, you know, 95-mile-an-hour fastball in the ribs, but I suspect, you know, rosin, the illegal stuff, gives pitchers enough of a grip aid. I don't think you need spider tack to throw a ball over the plate any better than rosin, is my sort of loose understanding of this. So I think batters should want this side of the game too, like Josh Donaldson, to see their batting averages and performance go up. So I think players universally should want a level playing field. It's only it's not just a matter of fairness. It's a matter of making the product watchable. And if it's just strikeouts and home runs, you know, that's going to, I think, you're at risk of losing a younger generation of fans.
We're talking to Travis Sawchick. He is a senior baseball writer for The Score. Download The Score app. It's the best app for being up to date on all scores, news, and original content. All right, let's shift gears to real baseball for just a minute. The Red Sox and the Astros, great series. Astros take the series, but Red Sox get game three in a thrilling game last night. It was a long game, but a fun game, 12 different pitchers. What are your takeaways from the Red Sox-Astros series of the last few days?
Yeah, there's. I don't know that either team got a ton of like headlines and World Series predictions going into the year, that sort of thing, but they are... They're two teams who I think stand out to me really this year is sort of surprise. I don't know if you'd be surprised in Houston, but I mean, I look at the Astros offense, what they're doing, really impressive, just top to bottom. I love the lineup. I think they're a real threat. I think they've had some surprise pitchers pop up in the rotation, and I think they're gonna be a playoff team. They're going to be a real threat. And Red Sox also, I think, exceeding expectations. Devers has bounced back. I don't think you ever want to trade Mookie Betts, but I know Verdugo didn't play in every game in that series. But yeah, he's a very good young player. JD Martinez bouncing back. Maybe there was something to not being able to have video last year. Matt Barnes is looking really good at the back of rotation. So yeah, there are two teams I think we could see meet in the playoffs. And I don't know if I want to even call them. I think the Red Sox are probably more of a surprise team, but I think they're. There's certainly two teams that have really impressed me early this season.
Yeah, Red Sox, in my mind, have overachieved. Certainly the expectations were light coming into this season. Another team that, in my mind, is overachieved, but they seem to do it quite consistently, is the Rays. I mean, that team, is, despite losing Snell and Morton, I mean, they are really impressive to me, and they do it with such a light payroll, only about $65 million. Can they keep it going? Do you see the Rays making a deep run into the playoffs this year?
Yeah, and they've also had to deal with a lot of injuries, especially with their bullpen this year. So what they're doing is really impressive. They just seem to if the Rays GM calls you and you're any other team's, you know, lead executive and baseball operations say, you just hang up the phone.
Hang up the phone, right.
they don't seem to lose any trades. They pluck Rich Hill up, who looked like he was kind of near the end, and he has this another like career renaissance, and they use a different lineup every day, but they mix and match so well. And I mean, they do have some legit star players. Tyler Glasnow is a legitimate front of the rotation guy. Rosarena is a great player. Austin Meadows, I think he's warming up, and he's a very good left-handed hitter. Joey Wendell's having a nice year, and you know, Wander Franco is going to be up at some point, I would think, as the top prospect in the game. So they do have legitimate star players, but they get so much out of their role players, and they put them in spots to succeed. And of course, they were early on in adopting into the analytics revolution, and I think they've kept going and looking for every edge now in player development the data can give you. So yeah, just a really, really well-run team with a good process and really good at getting the most out of players they acquire and building off their strengths. And they're doing it again with a bunch of guys that aren't household names, but it is pretty amazing the run they've been on, for sure. But it's real. They're going to be in the postseason again.
Well, great stuff. Travis Sawchick, you can read him on The Score. He's their senior baseball writer. Download The Score app. Travis, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
The middle.
All right, what do you got today, Culver?
Florida woman completely trashed an Outback Steakhouse.
Yes.
By smashing wine bottles and dishes while completely naked.
This was the story I wanted to get to yesterday and preempt fake news with, but the Fletcher Cox story derailed us. So we couldn't get to the naked woman because of Cox.
Yes.
I know what I did there.
That was very well done. All verified.
That's it. Look at you. This is a team win. I keep telling everybody.
Well, you know, obviously I know that's true as well. I just want a picture. I want Ron to send me a picture
yes.
of a woman.
Okay. Yeah, but
yeah, send it to me too, bro. I got to see that.
Embarrass the guy in the office. Doesn't say a word all day. He's on the phone making a sale. Gets up. Forward that sex video to me too, will you? Then he just turns around.
The Middle with Eitan Shander, Barrett Brooks, and Harry Mays. Weekdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern.
Pharrell.
Coast to coast!
The NFL schedule release, winners and losers.
Whoever did that should be fired. This is a perfect case of this. Like, they sat around and decided in the morning they were going to come out with this stupid-ass story. Like, who cares? So now there's winners and losers for the schedule release. Jesus, I need to do something else.
Pharrell Coast to Coast with Scott Pharrell. Weekdays from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern.
The Dave Smith Show.
You know, if you remove AD from this Laker roster, Steve, the Suns are a much better team, so it's no surprise with AD out that the Suns quickly closed them out.
This year, they made all the wrong moves. They also desperately missed Rondo. The fact is, Schroeder, who had played well during the season for the Lakers, disappeared in the postseason. Bob Pelinka comes out, the general manager of the Lakers, and said, yeah, we want to keep this nucleus together. This was the championship team we assembled, and we were just unfortunately undone by the short offseason and the injury. And Dave, you and I know what we saw. This is a team that no interior defense, can't shoot the basketball from the outside. So the idea of bringing back everybody and paying $20 million a year to Schroeder or Andre Drummond is going to make this team a championship team, plus that broken down Anthony Davis. I dare say, if you're a Laker fan right now, hold on to what happened last year, because I don't see it happening again, especially if they fight to keep this current roster together. This is not a championship roster.
The Dave Smith Show. Weekends at 9 p.m. Eastern on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Football might be over, but there's still plenty to follow in the world of sports. That's why you need the Score app. Great basketball and hockey seasons are underway, and baseball and golf are about to heat up as well. Get the free Score app, available on both the App Store and Google Play, and never miss a big moment from your favorite team. The Score has super fast score updates and alerts, plus all the breaking news, stats, schedules, and betting info you need. Again, the Score is free to download and available wherever you get your apps. That's the Score, the best sports app ever, period.
You're listening to The Boss
and The Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, college football. Has emerged as a hot topic.
We actually can legit talk college football. I'm ready.
Well, the big idea on the table is to expand the college football playoffs from 4 to 12, the Dirty Dozen. Do you like the idea? Do you think it's right for college football?
That's an interesting question that you just asked. I think it is right for college football for the fan base and for the bottom line. Do I think it's right for the student athlete? Not necessarily.
Right.
It's not really about the athlete. But you know what? I actually do really like it. I think that, you know, it enhances the regular season. That becomes a lot more important. Instead of four teams, that you've got an additional eight in 12 teams. And instead of diluting the regular season, which it is now, you know, pretty much diluted, fans, you know, you're going to have a bigger involvement because you've got a lot more teams that have chances to go. And then I think it makes the conference championships more important, which I like that.
I do like that.
I love that.
I really think that's a nice addition to this. I mean, the interesting thing is, of course, right now, toward the end of every year, there's always a debate between the team that's ranked number 5, 6, or 7, mm-hmm. should they get in as the number 4 and get to be part of the Big Four? I guess we'll have the same debate whether team 13, 14, and 15 deserve to be part of the top 12, but it seems like it will be a less significant debate because those are teams that are going to be way down the roster.
Right, we're going a lot deeper in the rankings.
And to argue who's 12 versus 13 seems so much less significant than who's 4 versus 5. And so I like it as a fan. I love the idea that there'll be more teams involved. I love the significance of the conference championships. And I see it as a real positive for college football in terms of garnering attention and obviously making more money.
Yeah, I agree with you. And the way this is going is that there's a subcommittee with College Football Playoff Committee that has considered this expanse
yep.
to 12 teams. They are going to all meet, you know, everybody meets in Chicago next week, and it has to be, you know, agreed on by people. But what this calls for is the six highest-ranked conference champions plus the six remaining highest-ranked teams determined by the selection committee for CFP. So, and it wouldn't start at the earliest for two seasons. It wouldn't be this season. It wouldn't be the next season.
I know we're going to get all hyped up and excited about it. We're not going to get it this season. Even I don't see why you couldn't do it for the following year. I understand it's too late this year. But
because there's an agreement in place.
Noted.
That's what it
right.
is. You know, basically bottom line. But you know what I think it's going to be interesting on, and I like this. This is going to force the hand of Notre Dame to me, join a conference. I get so sick and tired of them able to be an independent and not have to play a conference championship. But this format is going to actually, they're going to have a consequence to this, meaning the first four seeded teams will have a bye. They will not have to play the first round. Well, Notre Dame is not able to get a first four seed because they will not be playing in a conference championship. So they don't get a first round bye. They will have to play, and they cannot be seeded higher than a five because of that. So I think it is going to force, you know, Notre Dame did a 1-year trial in the ACC last year. But I think it's time to buck up, guys. It's time to join something.
Yeah, it'll force them into one of these conferences.
Yes.
ACC might well be the place. But that will be a really fun development to watch. So more to come on that.
Yeah, I think it's exciting.
But it could be a band of 12 making it into the college football playoff. Other college football news, Nick Saban extends his contract for another 3 years. He's going to be with Alabama, it would seem, till the end of his career.
Well, until 2028, where he will be 77 years old.
That may be time to hang it up.
I mean, and you know, I think he'll be ready to hang it up by then, but I don't have any less confidence in a 77-year-old Saban as I do in a 69-year-old Saban. He is really the GOAT, and I love that they've locked it. And this assures...
Well, he's a young 69 right now.
He
just does not seem or look to be 69 years old.
Right, and he's coaching and recruiting like there's nobody's business,
yep.
as usual. And I think he's built such a system that he doesn't have to, you know, start from the ground up every year. Clearly, he's got depth upon depth upon depth. But I think this is great for Alabama, is ensuring that he will end his career, if he so chooses, in Alabama. I love that.
You talk about a system and how he develops, I mean, or rehabs some people, right? I mean, look.
Yeah, second chance you.
Second chance you.
Bill O'Brien, for goodness sakes.
And that's what strikes me. I mean, there's Bill O'Brien, who failed miserably here with the Houston Texans. Now he's going to be the offensive coordinator. Look, Steve Sarkisian was not the rehab project, but Sarkisian obviously...
Oh, he was.
Okay, well, he did very well with Alabama, and now he gets to go and run the Longhorn football program. It's just so intriguing. Alabama has been a place where people can sort of resurrect themselves,
yes.
and Saban enables that. I mean, maybe he sees
does.
Something in Bill O'Brien that Bill O'Brien maybe is a good offensive coordinator, but was not a good head coach and general manager for the Texans, and that Nick can get the best out of Bill O'Brien. I guess my point is that we all see that Nick Saban's an extraordinary recruiter. We see that he's an extraordinary coach. He wins. He makes great in-game adjustments. But I think he must also be a great general manager over the assistant coaches on his staff.
Clearly. And he gets rid of the ones that he doesn't like. Like, do you remember? He let Lane Kiffin go 3 days before the national championship game.
Yep.
And, you know, good for him. That's when I really earned even more respect for Saban. I was
yep.
like, yeah, that guy's a cancer. Time for him to get out of here.
Well, and now Sarkisian, who's been resurrected into that program, he goes to the Longhorns, and he's got his work cut out for him. It's amazing how long it's been since the Longhorns were really significant and relevant. UT, in this state of Texas, there's a sense almost of entitlement, of expectation at
sure.
the least, that the Longhorns should be a premier program. There's so many good players that come out of Texas, and yet it's been a long, difficult road for the Longhorns.
Well, Mack Brown left in 2013.
Yep.
But, you know, won that national championship against USC in 2005. And really, after that, to me, Mack Brown, who I think is an outstanding coach. He just kind of gave up on recruiting. He got his – and so when you have from 2005 to when he left in 13, where you're really kind of – recruiting is not at the forefront, I think that's where the Longhorns really lost their step. They really lost their foothold in college football. They've hired three coaches since then in Charlie Strong, Tom Herman, and now Steve Sarkisian to try and return this program to prominence and even relevance. But, you know, I'm not a Sarkisian fan. I mean, he was the head coach at Washington, my alma mater, USC, where he had a very brutal, awful firing, then drugs, alcohol, divorce, the whole situation. His career record as a head coach is 46-35. That to me, like, while it's above 500, yes, when you've got a program like you described in the University of Texas, is that the kind of record you want to bring in to resurrect? I think Paul Feinbaum said it beautifully. Texas is no big deal other than to Texas fans.
Well, that is the feeling down here in Texas. We'll see if Sarkisian can make the difference.
And they've got the fourth toughest schedule in the FBS coming up in this season.
It's going to be a long year there. All right, when we come back, we're going to take a look. Did Russell Wilson want to leave the Seahawks?
Oh, what?
He's saying no, he did not want to be traded. We'll unpack that when we return here. You're listening to the Boston Gloss on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're going on a trip, but where are you going to stay? How much will it cost? Well, it'll cost less by booking on besthotelrates.com. BestHotelRates.com works with all the top hotels in the country while delivering you great hotel and room choices for the best prices. Why wait? Go to BestHotelRates.com, enter your email address, and start shopping for your next hotel room. BestHotelRates.com, it's in the name, BestHotelRates.com.
Auto Accident Help Desk is a marketing agency connecting callers with attorneys. Providers pay a fee for advertising services.
I love getting my kids ready and driving them to school.
But a careless driver can change your life in an instant. And insurance companies want to settle on the cheap. Auto Accident Help Desk connects victims with powerful lawyers. They fight for you.
I called Auto Accident Help Desk and got help for my pain and suffering.
Don't let an insurance company take advantage of you. Our attorneys fight and beat big insurance every day.
Call 800-528-6859, 800-528-6859.
If you've been injured in an automobile accident in the last 6 months, you owe it to yourself to make this free call with no obligation. We're available 24/7 to help you get the money you deserve for your pain and suffering. Auto Accident Help Desk helps accident victims like you every day.
Call 800-528-6859, 800-528-6859. That's 800-528-6859.
Jay Farner here, CEO of Rocket Mortgage and Rocket Companies. Last year, we saw historically low mortgage interest rates. What you may not know is that interest rates are already starting to increase, and it's likely that trend is only going to continue. Our team of experts is standing by to help you save before rates go up. Don't look back and wish that you had taken action. Call 833-8-ROCKET or visit rocketmortgage.com.
Rocket.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states and MLS ConsumerAccess.org number 3030.
Over 2.5 million airline passengers fly every day in the United States. Those passengers depend on reliable airplanes, and those planes need certified aircraft technicians. That's where you come in. We are the Aviation Institute of Maintenance, and we train tomorrow's technicians. We train our students hands-on with real aircraft, develop their skills, and prepare them for real jobs in the industry. The Bureau of Labor Statistics reports the average aircraft technician in the United States makes over $62,000 a year.
The job opportunity is there. The money is there.
If you want to work with your hands, it's a perfect place for you.
Call 800-876-0097.
I'm very impressed with the AIM curriculum. The school's keeping pace with the demands of the industry.
The potential for growth is astounding.
At the Aviation Institute of Maintenance, we train tomorrow's technicians.
800-876-0097. 800-876-0097.
It's the Boss.
And the Gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. And I saw Carla Dawson scratching her head. She was confused, and that rarely happens. And this was the nature of the confusion. You thought that Russell Wilson in this offseason wanted to be traded. And now you realize, I mean, he said today, no.
Shame on me.
He never did want to be traded. Shame on you. What were you thinking when there was a list of four teams out there to which he wanted to be traded? What were you thinking? He's now saying, no, 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 that was not the case. Is there some confusion here?
The confusion is with Russell Westbrook. I'm just going to go ahead and say that. The gloss is not confused.
Russell Wilson.
Yeah, why did I say Westbrook? Yes,
well,
exactly.
Westbrook
Thank
in the
you.
News, another matter.
Yeah, that's a whole other thing because we've got some
Wilson.
News there. But
maybe
yeah.
she is confused.
Well, clearly, right?
Thank you, Ron.
I have not had my coffee yet this morning, so that could be it. You know, Russell Wilson, I would say this to you. If you really did not request a trade and you really did not want out of Seattle and you are fired up about your team, your coaching staff, the upcoming season like you say you are, then why did you let those reports marinate and that narrative be out there for weeks?
Yeah, that's really the thing. There were two elements here. One is he never shut it down. It
never.
Really went on a long time. And then the other is it went so far as the four other places that he would like to go. Now, that came from his agent. That didn't come from him. But he's talking to his agent. I mean, that's one of the same, right?
If the agent does something rogue that he doesn't want, he fires the agent.
Right.
The agent does not want to lose that contract for Russell Wilson. So let's peel back the onion and go, dude, you know what you did? Russell, you flexed your muscles. You are seeing, you were once, not long ago, the highest paid quarterback in the NFL when you signed that big fat contract, and deservedly so. You won a Super Bowl. You put up phenomenal numbers year after year, no off-field issues. It's all great. And then this is the modern day NFL. It's next man up. And it doesn't matter if that person's better than you. If it's Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes, Dak Prescott, that Kirk Cousins, the next contract up is going to be the bigger than the one that was just paid. So Russell Wilson needs to realize that as a modern NFL player. And I think that's part of his frustration. And honestly, he just said, I'm going to flex my muscles and see if they move because I'm Russell Wilson. And the Seahawks didn't move. So now he's going back a track, back a track, back a track, back a track, and saying, I didn't really say that. But you allowed that narrative to be out there for weeks.
For weeks with four specific teams.
Yep.
I mean, going back to an analogy we had in hour one with Garrett Cole, you, Carla, have a man friend. We all know that he's out there. And if the narrative was this, if he were to say, listen, if something could happen here, you know, there are these four other women, Tina, Louise, Jane, and Beatrice, and actually come up with these four other names, that implies that he's thinking about moving on, right? I mean, he's got four names in mind. But then months later, he says, no, don't worry. I never considered leaving. I didn't want to leave. I was not asking for a trade.
You have got some good analogies today. This is speaking to the people.
Well, once I mentioned Tina, that really got you. I could see this.
It was Louise.
Oh, it was Louise that bothered you.
That was the one.
Oh, well.
You know, hide in a librarian name, but, you know, Vixen behind that.
I was, be honest with you, I was kind of lost. I thought he was naming Gilligan's Island actors.
No.
Beatrice was the
kickoff.
Well,
no, Tina Louise. She played Gidget.
Oh, good point.
Oh, nice.
That's true. Tina and Louise, they're combined.
Your age, Ron.
So your man friend was running away with her.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, that just doesn't fit, but it is.
When she was Dawn, right?
Yes, exactly.
And everyone likes the girl next door.
That's right.
Yes. Well, I'll tell you that.
Look at Ron with those tidbits.
Seattle with a neat kumbaya moment here. I mean, Russell Wilson saying, hey, there was a lot of confusion back then. And then, of course, Pete Carroll just saying, look, it was the media. It became bigger than life. Russell's fired up about his team, his coaching staff, and the upcoming season. So the kumbaya moment has happened. The Seahawks are now back together, and all is well and right. And we shall see for at least another year. Remember, one of the dilemmas was that it was very hard to trade Russell Wilson with the terms of his current contract.
That's right.
It will be easier to trade him after this year. So they really need to have a good year. They need to get on the same page. And then if they don't, there will be that opportunity to trade Russell Wilson.
Absolutely. But let's be clear. We are clear. Russell Wilson, confused.
Confused. All right. Now, you know, the other interesting thing about the quarterback movements this offseason. I mean, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson, all these big names that were bandied about. Of course, right now, none of them have been moved, obviously for very different reasons. But it does seem that there are a few teams that have almost positioned themselves to get one of these big three if, in fact, one would drop out of the sky.
You mean in Wilson, Rodgers, and Watson?
Yes, and I guess at this moment, sure, Rodgers is the name that is most likely to be traded. Watson needs to get his legal issues resolved or an NFL suspension solved. But here sits the Denver Broncos, and it's sort of interesting. They've got all the pieces lined up. They just need a quarterback to come and drop into their laps. They're not going to the Super Bowl with Drew Lock at quarterback. But the analogy of the team they have today and that the team they had when Peyton Manning dropped into them and took them to the Super Bowl.
Very similar.
It's very similar. And it just seems like they're poised, like they're waiting. And they've had different opportunities at different moments. It looked like any one of those three might get traded. And yet they can taste it, but they can't quite have it at this moment.
Well, because of the limbo that Deshaun Watson finds himself with his legal issues and the NFL having not taken any stand yet with that. And then with Aaron Rodgers, obviously this mess in Green Bay that we talk about ad nauseum day after day. And, you know, I feel badly for Matt LaFleur in Green Bay because this is kind of out of his control. He's very clear that he really wants Aaron Rodgers back. There's no doubt about it.
And I mean, it doesn't seem that Rodgers' gripe is with LaFleur. It's not with the head coach, which is notable. Now, I just wanted to offer that because remember when LaFleur came in, there was all this tension. They were almost the same age. Who is Matt LaFleur to tell Aaron Rodgers what to do? And LaFleur was changing the offense, maybe limiting what Aaron Rodgers could do. But that doesn't seem to be the problem.
No, you're exactly right. And that's why I feel I do have sympathy for Matt LaFleur because I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to suit up in Green Bay. He has said, unless Brian Gutekunst, the general manager, is fired, I'm not coming back. I mean, that's kind of clear. Just saying that doesn't, I mean, he's, you know, versus Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers is pretty clear about what he wants. Then this past weekend, you had Green Bay president Mark Murphy come out and say, Aaron Rodgers is dividing the fan base.
Yeah.
And, you know, number one, that is not true. He is not dividing the fan base. If the fan base has to pick between Mark Murphy and the organization and backing Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Rodgers has been the savior in Green Bay. And so that's number one. It's not dividing the fan base. Number two, if you are trying to get any sort of reconciliation and bring your MVP, your league MVP, the reigning league MVP, back onto your football field, do you think blaming him for fan division is going to help? The fan division is coming from the front office, just like Marv Murphy is showing. It's really frustrating. If that's how Green Bay rolls, I can see why he doesn't want to be there.
So if you were a fan of Green Bay, and I'm not a Packers fan, in fact, they're one of those teams I've always had to hate because they were always beating my team.
You're a Cowboys guy, yeah.
But if you were a Packers fan, would you not be frustrated that your quarterback has turned on you? In this sense, he signed a contract, he's here. The Packers, yeah, they made a decision to draft for the future with Jordan Love. And that upset Aaron Rodgers as an individual. But that's what the team deemed was best for the long-term outlook of the team. And I'm first a fan of the team, second a fan of Aaron Rodgers. Do you not think that some Packers fan is looking at Aaron Rodgers and saying, just go play football for us. We've got you under contract. We want you to play. I need you to play. You're my chance at a Super Bowl. I'm your fan, but I need you to play. I don't need you to demand a trade.
Yes, I think there are fans that are like that for sure. But I also think that the really mature, diehard fans are like, wait a minute, when you listen to what his issue is, and this is a quote from Aaron Rodgers, it's about character, it's about culture, and it's about doing things the right way. And any fan can see that he doesn't have a lot of pieces around him. And any fan can see that with the game on the line with the Bucks, you know, with a trip to the Super Bowl, they did not put the ball in Aaron Rodgers' hand, and it didn't work. And so, to me, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is your franchise. He was just voted the league MVP. If your organization does not trust him enough to have the ball in his hand, then I'm on Aaron's side, and I'm really frustrated with that organization. You know, we're sitting here in Houston. I feel the same way about Deshaun Watson. Sans the legal issues, that's a whole new ball of wax. But the talent, the attitude, the work ethic, the leadership that he gave Houston, and what Bill O'Brien, Cal McNair, and Jack Easterby did to damage that and to waste that talent. I'm not mad at Deshaun Watson. He's saying, I want out of here. I'm not putting on a jersey again.
Yep.
It's kind of the same thing. It's about character, culture, and doing things the right way. And the Texans haven't done that either. So I'm sitting here as a Texans fan going, no, I'm on Deshaun's side. So I'm done with the Texans until they can get their stuff together. And I'm going to follow Deshaun wherever he goes. Now, again, legal issues aside, but that is where I am as a fan who is rabid about football and my guy.
Pre-legal issues, you were on the player's side, not on the team side. Interestingly,
when the team is not handling their business correctly.
Right. Well, one interesting development, now let's shift to the Texans. For 20 years, they sold out every game. They were out an incredible run. And the fan base is so committed to that team because when I say that, I mean, it's not to be lost.
It's Texas. It's football. It's big.
But they had some awful seasons, really bad seasons, and yet they sold out. Well, now, for the first time, given that everything that has happened in Houston, all the changes, the scandals, the issues with Deshaun Watson, but prior to all that, the trading of DeAndre Hopkins, Bill O'Brien's attitude and the way he dealt with the media, the coming of Jack Easterby and his behind-the-scenes role, with all of that drama, and looking at the outlook of the team this year, a team led by Tyrod Taylor and
Davis Mills,
and really not a whole lot of other firepower around them. They've got, Tunsil may be their best player at left tackle, but you don't really market your left tackle day in and day out.
Right.
They just don't have the marketing pieces like they had with J.J. Watt and Deshaun Watson. Anyway, it looks like the Texans are going to struggle to sell tickets this year for the first time in their entire existence.
Well, I thought it was interesting this week. Top sports columnist Jerome Solomon here in Houston for the Chronicle, he's been on a waiting list for Texan season tickets for years. He's number 12,000, like 500 on the waiting list. And guess what? He got the call.
Yeah, that's not a good sign.
And he declined it as well. He didn't want to put money into that. What product is that they're putting on the field?
Right.
And it's no fault of Tyrod Taylor's. The guy's got to go where he's going to be paid. Davis Mills, they drafted him. That's all great and everything. But man, oh man, there was the combo of quarterbacks and supporting cast was ranked in the NFL. And number 32 out of 32 teams was Tyrod Taylor and Davis Mills and their supporting cast.
Yeah.
So do you want to pay thousands of dollars for PSLs and season tickets when they likely could go 0-17?
Well, we all know an NFL day, a day at the ballpark, is an expensive day just to get in and then all the money you spend to enjoy the whole experience. And that's a big ticket to write when you can see a team that probably is going to finish with either, well, it'll be 4 wins or less. They might.
4 wins is generous.
Yeah, and it is generous, but there probably are a couple games where the other team might just turn the ball over a couple times and there are breaks of the NFL. So they might win 2, but it's certainly less than 4 wins. And when you know that, when it's that clear going into the season, it's just got to be gut-wrenching to a fan. And certainly now that is reflected at the stadium. The one thing that people have always said is that ownership doesn't pay attention to the fans until it hurts their pocketbook.
That's right.
But now this will affect the pocketbook, to be sure. All right, we'll be right back. You're listening to the Boston Gloss on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Let's go. Pushing the Odds with Matt Perrault.
The shift needs to be, I don't like the word eliminated, because I want guys like Joe Maddon in the game. I want guys to be able to move around defensive players and do things that we haven't seen before. I like innovation in sports. I like crazy masterminds who don't think the same way. They have different opinions, different ideas, different philosophies that can work. I like that in sports. But I don't like the fact when you can put multiple outfielders and take away hits consistently. I get very angry at watching good at-bats. You lace the ball to right, and a dude is standing there catching it when he's not supposed to be there. Like, it's just not part of the game. I am all for however number of infielders you want, go right ahead. But only 3 outfielders should be allowed in baseball.
Pushing the Odds with Matt Perrault.
Weekday afternoons from 1 to 4 Eastern.
The The middle.
Adam's exploit says, I like the Chipotle guy. He's talking about Jake Asman.
Yeah.
He's right now running for a tiger.
That tiger could eat Asman and he'd be like, all right, what's next? Like, I want more.
Yeah, it wouldn't even be a snack.
He'd be big in his teeth.
It's like one of those Andes mints.
Right.
You can never just have one, right?
The Middle with Eitan Shander, Barrett Brooks, and Harry Mays. Weekdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern.
The Jake Asman Show.
The president of the UFC, Dana White, joining us now. You're 51 years old. You're not old by any means, but you've been doing this for such a long time. Have you thought about your future and how long you want to continue to run the UFC?
I love this sport. I love this company. I love all the people that I'm working with every day. I can't imagine doing anything else. And, you know, I know for guys like you that are young and, you know, starting out in the business, you guys are all like, oh, we talk about retirement. But as you really start getting closer to retirement, there's only so many trips you can go on. There's only so many cars you can buy. You know, all that stuff, you know, it's fun, especially in the beginning. But I've done it all and seen it all. And, you know, I've bought everything that I wanted to buy. I love what I do. This is what I love to do. So I couldn't imagine not doing it.
The Jake Asman Show. Weekday mornings from 9 to 11 Eastern. Headed to Texas to watch your team play, but don't know where to go for that pregame drink? Visit culturemap.com for all of the hottest spots in Houston, Austin, Dallas, Fort Worth, and San Antonio. From the most popular bars to those favorite dine-in gems, Culture Map has it all. Then before you leave town, why not visit some of the best places to shop or see some of the sights? Culture Map has extensive coverage on all the things to do in the city you're in. So check out culturemap.com. That's culturemap.com.
You're listening to The Boss
and The Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao
and Carla Dawson.
So these last couple of hours have flown by, and one topic I so much wanted to get to was, it seems here we sit again, the Browns, the Cleveland Browns, so hyped. The anticipation about what they'll do this year is very, very excited. And
with the return of OBJ and all, you know, they do have all the pieces.
Look, Peter King just had his power rankings, and based on the offseason results, he ranked the Browns number four. And that just strikes me as a huge leap of faith for an entity that has never really been in the top five. It just feels like since forever, if ever. And I don't know. I have trouble making that leap of faith again, because it seems every year they get hyped. They're finally there. And then there's some level of disappointment. Now, they won a playoff game last year, so I don't want to dismiss that. But to be a top four team, I can't get my head around that yet.
I can't yet either, because you have several X factors. I do like Kevin Stefanski in the head coach position, and I think they're set there.
Yep.
Really love that. I think OBJ, to me, he's an X factor. What has he done? He's got some beautiful highlight reels for sure, but he's always got an issue, whether he's wearing a watch and gets in trouble for that. He's coming back from a torn ACL.
Right.
That is not an easy injury to recover from. So I have questions about him. And he and Jarvis Landry as the tandem, I'm not sure. The biggest X factor, however, for me is Baker Mayfield, who's playing in the last year of his rookie deal. And I would say, and I think you would agree with me, that he is a middle-of-the-pack quarterback. You know, drafted number one overall. Is he really going to jump to match a number four roster?
Yeah, I think there's a presumption that he's going to elevate his game. He'll take the next level move. And if so,
he's very inconsistent and mistake-prone.
Right, no, that's the truth. So we shall see. He needs to really do that. And Stefanski has helped him quite a bit.
Yes.
A running game has helped him. So that will be fun to watch. Thank you so much for being with us. You've been listening to The Boss and The Gloss on the Sports Map Radio Network.
The Athletic is delivering every sports story that matters. The Athletic